Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Las Musas podcast. My name is Maria Jose Fitzgerald, and I'm the author of Turtles of the Midnight Moon. Today, I'm joined by Jessica Parra and Aisha Perez Prado. On this episode of Debut Diaries, we'll be talking about our agenting, submission, and debut process. Aisha, can you start us off by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about your book and what books you're excited about for 2023.
Sure. So my name's Aisha Perez Prado. I am originally from Argentina. And my debut book is called City Feet. And I'm the author illustrator. It's published by Raycraft. And it's a rhyming picture book about, told from a toddler's perspective, about the feet and legs that are wacky that they see in cities all over the world. It just came out this week, so I'm in the midst of my book launch, so that's interesting. We'll talk more about that later. And I'm also very excited for lots of books coming up, including Sara Echenique's book called Our Roof is Blue, which is about resilience after a hurricane hits Puerto Rico, about two siblings and their story, and Nadia Ali's book Humphrey the Explorer, which is about Humpty Dumpty's nephew Humphrey and his desire to have adventures like his uncle but without the consequences. So yeah, that's what I'm excited about.
Sounds great.
My name is Jessica Parra. I am the author of Ruby Ramos's Recipe for Success, out May 16th with Wednesday Books. It is a young adult contemporary novel that is A Cuban Girl's Guide to Today and Tomorrow meets the Great British Bake Off if it was in Southern California. I am super excited about Angela Montoya's Sinner's Isle, which is Latinx, Pirates of the Caribbean, YA, super sexy and swoony, and also Nina Moreno's second in the Maggie Diaz universe, Pack Your Bags, Maggie Diaz. And I am super excited about those and so many others.
All those books sound so good, and too bad, you know, I've been spending all my money on books recently, but that sounds wonderful. And like I said, my name is Maria Jose Fitzgerald, and I'm the author of Turtles of the Midnight Moon, which is a middle grade eco mystery set in Honduras, which is where I'm from. And it's about two girls, Barana and Abby, who come together to solve a sea turtle egg poaching mystery. And it's a story about community and friendship and hope and identity and home. And there's a little bit of magic and a little bit of, you know, just activism and conservation. Okay, so this is great. We'll start off with hearing a little bit about your agenting process. And so Aisha, how did you choose which agent to query? And how many agents did you query at a time? So tell us a little bit about that process.
Yeah, so when I started and had learned a little bit about picture book writing and started querying agents, I took part in a Twitter pitch party. I can't remember which one it was anymore, but I had like 88 likes on this one pitch and from agents, supposedly. So I spend some time checking them out because some people are not agents and they're liking your pitch. So all of the agents, I had maybe 35 agents or so, there was a lot of agents. But within that, I investigated them on Publishers Weekly to see if they'd ever sold anything or whatever. And the best ones, like the top 10, I started to query like three at a time. And that's how I found my first agent, who I think is a really good agent, but was not a good fit for me. That story never sold. And another story that she subbed out also never sold. It went to acquisition several places, but it didn't sell. And so then we parted ways amicably, like a friendly divorce. But it was kind of heartbreaking, you know, because you don't know if you're ever going to get another agent. And it was also 2020, right when the pandemic hit. And so my husband was in the hospital. I parted ways with my agent. I was like, I don't know if I ever want to do this again. You know, I was a little bit like bummed out. And I decided to ask like a couple of friends, what do you think I should do? Should I query again? Should I take a break? You know, I was afraid that I had like a bad name because my book hadn't sold. You know what I mean? Like I was afraid like editors were like, oh, her book didn't sell, so we never want to see her again. Or so I don't know. And I ended up asking a former writing teacher of mine. I had taken a creative writing workshop with her, picture book writing, and she had just become an agent. And so I wrote her a Facebook message, I think, and said, I swear to God, I'm not querying you. I just want to have a conversation and ask you, what do you think I should do? Because I liked her. She was very friendly and nice. And I had bought her a bottle of wine, not a bottle, just a glass of wine at an SCBWI conference. So we were on good terms. And we talked. And after we talked, she said, send me a story that you would query with and I'll give you some feedback. And I did. And then she said, send me another story. And I did. And then she said, I want you for myself. So yeah, she became my agent. And it's a great fit because she's very kind and nice and supportive. And we've sort of started new together. You know, she's a new agent, I'm a new author, and very supportive of each other and very like, she's always very enthusiastic. So it turned out well for me in the end.
What a great story with a happy ending. And you ended up with somebody you trust and you feel comfortable with. It's really awesome. What about you, Jessica? Tell us a little bit about your agenting process.
Oh my God. So I decided to query Ruby. I think it was like 2 weeks before the shutdown happened. So it was, early May 2020. And I just heard crickets for a while. Like it was like initially, actually, like I think I got like some full requests pretty quickly. And then it was just like crickets. I did get some form rejection. So I knew because I got, you know, some very quick full requests, but then followed by like silence or rejection, that there was like, I was like onto something, but it wasn't quite there yet. And so since like half of my query list was still pending, and to backtrack a little bit, like I listened to this great video that Alexa Dunn has on her YouTube channel about querying in batches. So I took her advice and I just did like 10 people. And like Aisha, like, you know, I did my research on like PM. So I would go with like the bigger, you know, agencies or see who's like sold similar things. And then that's how I narrowed it down. And then I did like a very small batch. I did 10 agents. And I think I got like 5 rejections, and then like the rest was just like crickets. So then I was like, okay, I'm just going to take this time, you know, like everybody doesn't know what's happening because of like the pandemic. So I'm just going to revise. So I ended up revising that summer and finished like maybe a week or two before the Pitch Wars deadline closed. So I'm like, okay, I'm still waiting for these people to get back to me, half of my query list. So I'm just going to like enter in Pitch Wars. And so I ended up getting into Pitch Wars. And then I guess I pulled back those like folds that were still pending. I told them I got into Pitch Wars. Like, do you mind if like, you know, I send this to you after the showcase? Everybody said yes. And then my next round was like, you know, re-adding those people. And then the query showcase in February of 2021 with that Pitch Wars class. And after that, I think it was like within a month, I started getting like offers of rep. So that was really exciting because it, you know, like at that point it had been like, yeah, like almost a year of, you know, querying and then the pause because of the pandemic and then the pause again during that revision time in Pitch War. So I remember when I got like the first, you know, email saying like, could we hop on a call? Like I remember like screenshotting it and like sending it to my Pitch Wars mentor Hoda and being like, what does this mean? Like, I didn't even know at that point. And yeah, so it was pretty wild.
Yeah, I think it's so important for our listeners to know that there's no one way of, you know, getting an agent, and there's no one agenting process. There's so many different stories out there. I mean, Jessica, you and I were very similar because we're from the same Pitch Wars cohort, which is, dare I say, the best Pitch Wars cohort.
It really is. It really is.
Yeah. We can't say we were the last, we were the second to last, but you know, we were the best. yeah, my process was very similar to yours. I started querying in small batches around the pandemic, around that time of spring 2020, and got, you know, a lot of rejections, and the book was definitely not ready. And I thought it was ready, but it wasn't. And, you know, I did get a few R&Rs in that process, and very similar to Jessica. Like after a while, I just was like, something's not right with this book. I need some support. I need some mentorship. And I literally submitted my query and my sample pages to Pitch Wars at like, oh, I don't know, like 11 minutes before the deadline. It was like so close. And I kind of did it on a whim, sort of like, let me just throw this out there in the world. Let me just put it out there, see what happens. And yeah, and then Julie Arts and Jessica Vitalis, you know, took me under their wing. And so the agenting process after Pitch Wars, you know what it's like, it's the showcase. So then the agents sort of come to the showcase website and they start reaching out to you. So it was very different than what I had experienced in the spring and summer of 2020 with all of that, you know, querying and how to get their attention and what do I say about myself? I've never written, you know, I've never queried a novel before. I don't have any writing credentials. So, you know, that early stage was very stressful because I had nothing to go on, right? And so then getting into the writing community through Pitch Wars was so invaluable, right? It was, you know,
I made friends. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
This is an ignorant question, but I really don't know anything about Pitch Wars because maybe because I'm a picture book mostly person. Is that for YA or middle grade?
Yeah, now? Right. So Pitch Wars was, Jessica, correct me if I'm wrong, but they just had middle grade, YA, and adult, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's no longer in existence. And Jessica, you can chime in whenever, but Pitch Wars was basically a mentorship program for new authors. When I say young author, I mean like a new author, and published authors or you know, people in the publishing world would do this voluntarily. It was a volunteer run organization, and it for a very long time was very successful. But you know, you can only run a volunteer run organization for so long before there's burnout and all that stuff. But it was an amazing organization run by some wonderful people, and they launched quite a few authors, right? Jessica, do you want to add a little bit?
One of the things that made it really unique or different than a lot of the other mentorship programs, because I was actually involved with two other ones too. I'll talk about that in a little bit, but what like made Pitch Wars different was that there was that agent showcase. So like Maria said, it like agents come to you at the end. So it was like 3 months of intense revision, and then it ends with the agent showcase, and the agents basically say, yeah, like query me. So that's what made it different. Like with Las Musas, because I was in the first class of Las Musas mentorship under Nina Moreno, and she made my book so much better. But again, like I think since I was like a newer writer at that time, like everything that she had told me needed to change in my book, you know, and she was right, because I didn't get picked up after when I started like querying. I ended up doing through Pitch Wars, but I think I needed, and this, yeah, we'll get to this like later, but I needed the time off between finishing a revision, and because it was like, okay, I'm done. And then like, I sent off like that first batch, which is like, never do that. So I needed really to like, look it over one more time. And a lot of the things that she said I needed to do, I didn't know how to do that yet, because I wasn't there in my craft yet. I was there once I got to Pitch War. So it's like my mentor then told me exactly the same things that Nina told me, only like I had the skills at that time to be able to make those changes.
That's so interesting to me, like, because it's so different. Although I do want to make a pitch right now for PB Party, which is kind of like that for picture book authors, which it's coming up, and I'm a judge on PB Party. So send in your submissions. I'm a judge this year. It's run by Mindy Elise Weiss, and you can find it on Twitter. Okay. And the submissions this year are March 1st, and it's only, you can only submit for like 8 hours or something like that. There's a submission window. Yeah. And then there's that, what you said, like there's usually about 1,000 submissions and maybe like 50 are picked for this agents and editors to look at their query. And I think the first, I don't know how many words of the picture book and decide whether they want a full submission. So it's kind of, I think it's kind of similar to what you're saying.
Yeah, I think it does. It sounds similar. And mentorship opportunities are out there. You know, even though Pitch Wars is no longer in existence, there are other mentorship organizations that our listeners can, you know, find out a little bit more about online, because they really do help. Not just the mentorship and, like Jessica said, like really getting to do the changes that you knew you should have made and getting that support to do them, but then also the community you get from them, and just you get connected in different ways, and it just makes the writing process less lonely.
Well, the next Los Musas application period opens on February 1st. So it—
Perfect. So for the Las Mutas Hermanas, right? Sisters.
Yes.
Awesome. And how did you know that your agent was the right fit for you? Aisha, you kind of touched on this a little bit, but, you know, for our listeners, once they start getting those requests, you know, you, once you get one agent request, you get to nudge the other agents that you queried, and you can sort of be like, hey, I have an offer of representation. Can you please get back to me? And usually you give a 2-week window or so for them to let you know. And so then comes the hard part, which is picking the agent. Because once you get one call, you usually get a few more, because now other agents want in on it. And even though Aisha's story is a little bit different, you know, I think it's important to share just from each of our perspectives, like, how did you know, how did you end up choosing one in the end? So if you want, Jessica, why don't you start us off, and then Aisha can kind of tell us a little bit about her unique story.
I ended up signing with the amazing Jennifer Azantian, and I actually met her at a Skibwe conference in 2019. And so she's probably the reason why I ended up finishing even Ruby to begin with, because I had half of the book. And so I ended up being in one of her workshops. I read a chapter, and the chapter that I read for her remained virtually unchanged from, you know, the first draft to publication. So she gave me an award, like, after that conference, like, she picked me. And so then as part of like the little prize, like, I got to have a one-on-one with her, and she, you know, we got to know each other a little bit. And I remember in the conversation, like, this struck me. She said that she takes her job, like, she looks at agenting as like political, like, you know, she is like, she's very intentional about what she represents and like the voices she wants to champion. And those voices, you know, tend to be marginalized voices. So that struck me. So we had that in common, because those are the type of stories that I like to read and that I want to champion and that I want to write. And then she also told me, she's like, I want this book now. And I'm like, I don't have it. I only have half of the book. And so she's like, I want this book now. So, like, please finish it. And so I finished the book because of her. So she didn't even participate in the showcase, you know, for Pitch Wars. But she was one of those that, like, still hadn't rejected me. And I think after, she's like, oh my God, I had forgotten to, like, reject you, you know? And then, so when I reached out to her to tell her, you know, like, I got into Pitch Wars, like, could I please send you like the revised version? She's like, yeah, definitely. You know, and then after on our call, she's like, oh, but yeah. So it's like afterwards, she's like, oh my God. Yeah. Like I was going to reject you, but then I totally forgot to. And, so it's like, after I sent her the Pitch Wars version, she, you know, offered rep. And so I just figured, and it, throughout that entire time too, she would like check in with me every month. Like, how are you doing? Like, is the book done? And then she would send me like announcements of like something similar that we could use as comp. So I just figured if she was just strong champion of me and my book before we were officially working together, like what is she going to do for me when we do? And so that it was like really a no-brainer to go with her. So yeah, that's what made her the one.
Wow. So you knew early on. That's great. And Aisha, what about you? How did you know that you're the second time around that your agent was the right agent for you?
I think that I knew that I wanted to feel really comfortable. And like I could be honest and sort of vulnerable. And I could feel that way with Joyce. My agent is Joyce Sweeney at the Seymour Agency. And she's such an empathetic person. You know what I mean? Like I didn't have to like pretend with her. And I feel like she sort of gets my humor. I'm a little dark. I think it's funny because Joyce says that she's like got a glittery, sparkly personality and she represents like happy, positive, upbeat people and Aisha. She's like, oh, and Aisha. Like, I'm like, I don't know.
My daughter would say you're emo.
So we're not, I don't think we're particularly similar in our outlooks, and she's not Latina, but she's really interested in learning. Like whenever she gives me feedback about something and I will push back and say, no, like that's not what I want to say. This is what I want to say, you know? And she'll be like, oh, thank you so much for telling me that. And I understand, like, she's very receptive. And she's very supportive. So that's how I know somebody who's, I think somebody who's empathetic, supportive, gets you and wants to see you succeed.
I love that. That's such a great answer. Yeah, I'm a super anxious person. So I think I ended up going with my agent is Sarah Crow. And I ended up choosing her ultimately because I felt so safe and like, she's got my back. Like, it just felt like she was a seasoned agent. She knows what she's doing. She's gonna do right by me. It just, I felt like she was like the smart kind of like right choice for me as somebody who's just really new, completely new to publishing and to this whole industry. I mean, I've been a teacher for almost 20 years and this is all just so new that I think my call with her just felt, I felt like I was talking to somebody who's been there, done that, who also really got my book, who really got my characters. She connected with my story in a way that made me feel very seen. And I felt like she was the right choice for me. You know, she made me feel very like, I got you. And it proved to be a good gut instinct because, you know, you hit bumps along the way and things happen once you get into the submission phase and the contract. And then after that, things happen as well. Once you're in the editing process, things, you know, my pub date almost got pushed, but she really, you know, she got on that and we made sure that we kept my pub date and so on. So yeah, she's a great agent. I'm happy I went with her, but it was definitely, you know, a process of really analyzing and thinking about what you need and what's the right fit for you. And yeah. So, right. Well, let's talk about what comes after you choose your agent and, you know, the process that comes immediately after, which is going on submission and the revision process with your agent. So when did you know that your book was ready to go on submission? Did your agent make the decision? Was it a mutual decision? And then once you went on submission, How long were you on submission and what was that process like? Aisha, you want to get us started with that?
I'm sorry, but I feel like I have like the wrong answer for all of these questions. I have never been on submission with the book that I sold or the other book that I sold. So basically I did another Twitter pitch party, and not party, but Latinx pitch. And I pitched City Feed and I got a like. And so my agent sent in my story to Winsome Bingham at Raycroft. And they made me an offer very quickly. So that book was actually, that story was never on submission. It only went to Winsome. I had written it for a competition like 2 years before, an early childhood book challenge. And I modified it a little bit. And so it's not like I knew it was ready. I just liked it. It stuck in my mind. And I thought it would be a good thing to pitch. It was easy to pitch because I used the stanza from the story, you know, because it's short. And I used a rhyming stanza that incorporated different languages in it. And I thought, oh, that will get somebody's attention. And it did. So yeah, I'm terrible at answering these questions.
No, but I think that's actually amazing that both your first agent had the unique Twitter pitch story, and then your second agent is almost like you weren't even querying her. It was just like a friend with an agent. And then you didn't even go on submission. You used Twitter for this as well. And I think it's also important to mention, I don't think Aisha, you've said this, but you're also an illustrator, you're an artist. So that's, you're kind of the full combo. So I think that's an important thing to note, that you got their attention because you also have this full package.
No, I only got it as an author. I didn't know. I was like in the closet illustrator. Like my agent knew I illustrate and I knew it, but I wasn't out there as an author illustrator. And then once they gave me the offer and they were looking for an illustrator, they said, wait, you're an illustrator? Somehow somebody told them, I think my agent or somebody said, oh, she illustrates too. And they said, why don't you submit a dummy? And I did, and they picked me.
Wow.
So it's all like happenstance, or this like fortuitous, you know,
event. It's synchronicity, right? It's like
I have been on submission, and things that I've had on submission have not sold. And I think that those are my strongest things, you know, sometimes, but they haven't sold. So I don't know.
So interesting. What about you, Jessica? How is your revision process with your agent? Like, how long were you working on revisions with your agent, and how long were you on submission?
So I think again, it's like maybe we're bad at this because, you know, coming out of Pitch Wars, it's like you have a very, very polished book. So my book was very polished. Jen is like a very editorial agent. So we did do like a very, very light developmental edit. Not even really that. I think it was more like a line edit that we did really. And so I think we did it in like a month. It was not like that much. And it was just like some things that she's like, okay, like, yeah, it was just like very minor stuff. I don't think it was like anything really having to do with character plotting, anything like that. It was like probably like another line edit. And then we did like a final proof. And then after that, we went on submission. She's great at picking, doing like a sub list of like editors. And again, like she did ask for my input of like, okay, like what imprints do you like? Is there any editors that you like? So I wasn't at that point very familiar with editors as I was with agents. Cause I think it's, you know, when you're a querying writer, it's like, you really know the agencies and the agents, and that takes up so much time. So you really aren't as familiar with editors. But I did know the imprints that I liked. So I gave her like a very small list of, you know, like imprints that I liked. And I did look at some books that I liked, and I'm like, okay, these are like the people. And again, and also like, I think through like Twitter, I don't even know how this even happened, but because I never was on Twitter, but I had some editors, I think maybe like a friend maybe tweeted about, oh yes, that's what it was. Nina Moreno, actually, when I got into the Las Musas internship program, she tweeted about me. So there were some editors that had liked her tweet. So then they went on the sub list as well. And again, it was like very atypical. Like it was like, I was on submission, I think for like less than a month. And when like the first offer came in, and I was lucky enough to get like multiple offers from editors. So we ended up going to auction. And then again, it was having the call with agents, but like on steroids, you know, because there's just like a lot more that goes into it. So it was having all those same calls, like, what is the editorial vision, things like that for like the book, and then just like vibes, you know, to like, who do I want to work with for, you know, like this deal, if they're gonna give me like a deal. So it's yeah, hopefully, you know, you get to work with like an editor if you guys vibe for like several years. But so that too. And so I ended up with going with Alex C. Holster at Wednesday Books. And yeah, it's been like a great fit so far. And I feel very supported there. And yeah, so it probably not a typical answer because it happened so quickly.
Yeah, I hear you. And I've got friends, I mean, I'm part of a critique group. And, you know, one of them was on sub for over a year, you know, and then I have another friend who's still on sub from Pitch Wars. And it's very different for everybody. Mine is kind of like yours. We worked on revisions. Turtles of the Midnight Moon was pretty polished after Pitch Wars. So it was more like line edit stuff that we worked on with Sarah as well for about maybe a month as well. And then after that, we went on submission with a pretty short list. I think it was just maybe 7 editors. And I can't remember how long it took, but one thing I will say is I've never had like heart palpitations like I had during that time period. My anxiety was on steroids. I was so anxious, which is really interesting because when I was querying, I was not anxious. Before Pitch Wars, when I queried, I was not anxious. I was just putting it out in the world. Same thing when I was, you know, going through the agenting process. It was okay. I wasn't that anxious, but the submission process for some reason just put me in this whirlwind of anxiety that was, you know, like this waiting and what's going to happen. It's something I need to work on. But yeah, I think it was about 4 to 6 weeks. And then we had offers. And then again, there was sort of like a bidding war that happened. And then we had to have calls with the editors and make a decision. So kind of similar to yours.
Wait, and then, so how did you end up picking your editor?
Yeah. So mainly the editorial vision, that was the biggest thing. And vibes too. I mean, I think vibes are huge. We were on the phone for like 2+ hours talking about the book. And it just felt like I was talking to a friend who really got my voice, who really got this story, and who really wanted to build my career too, as an author. I mean, this is Catherine Harrison at Knopf. You just kind of know, you know, you're talking about not just this book, but also, you know, visions for the future. And there were some editorial things that other editors mentioned that for me were sort of non-negotiables, things that I did not want to change about the story. And Catherine, when I asked her about those things, she actually was like, oh, absolutely not. We're keeping that. Like, that has to stay. That's like huge. And so that was a big thing for me too, was that she got that piece. So I guess editorial vision and vibes. Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about revisions. Would you share with our listeners, what are your go-to tips for the revising process? How do you go about setting yourself up for success during the revision process?
So, once again, I'm the worst guest at a podcast because I had no revision. They just asked for one more spread, which I did. But I think in terms of advice, I heard this advice somewhere, and I think it's good advice. Assume that everything they say is correct. Even if you immediately want to say, absolutely not, they don't get it, that I'm not going to change that, just assume they're right and go ahead and make that change and see what happens. Because lots of times when you do make the change, you find an even better way to say what you really wanted to say, you know? So yeah, I think that's good advice. And my natural instinct is to say, oh my God, they don't get me. My story's so much better. I don't need to do that. But, you know, I have to put that away and say, okay, let's just pretend that they're absolutely right and try it their way. That's it.
I love it.
I love Aisha. Yeah, no, I love everything that Aisha is saying. I'm having so much fun. For me, it's like a variation on that. Like I always take 24 to 48 hours to process an edit letter or like revisions because yeah, like my first instinct too is no, they didn't exactly the same, like they didn't get it. But then when I like have that time to go back and I'm like, oh yeah, they were actually right. So, and a good rule of thumb is like, if two people are saying the same thing, then that's when you really have to pay attention to that. So for me, I work with like two CPs, three that like I really, really trust. My Pitch Wars mentor, Hoda, it's like she, yeah, I don't think I will be able to like write anything without her. And I have another CP, Stephanie, and both of them just like really understand my voice. Like Steph is also from SoCal. So we have like a very similar comedic style. So it's like, sometimes when like my brain isn't working, I'll just like text them like, okay, how do I say this? And like, I'll just like copy and paste. Like there's like some things in like for Ruby, like when it was like getting down to like, you know, like the end, when we were like finishing up edits, like there was like some stuff that I just like cut and paste. Cause I'm like, this is like, they know me, they know my characters, they know my intention. And it just like works. So I guess like my tip would be like find CPs who like understand you, your vision, like your vibes, like everything, and they could really help you with that. And then just like taking time away from the book. Like when I, you know, initially queried Ruby, I went into the trenches like after hitting the end. And then, you know, then when I had that summer to revise, I'm like, oh gosh. Like, you know, cause I was waiting for agents, I think it was like 3 months that, you know, like when like some of the rejections were like trickling in, and then I like put it away like again, like for like, yeah, I had time away from it. So when I picked it back up to get it like in shape for Pitch Wars, I saw it with fresh eyes and I was able to do it. So, and even now, you know, like after Ruby sold, we had like, I think 3 months before we went into like edits, and there were edits that we did on that, but I was able to complete them like pretty quickly because I had that time away from, you know, like while like the contracts are worked out and all of that is worked out, like I had that time to really rest and refresh like my mind. And that's like another tip too, is like when you do sell the book, you don't have that time, you know, you don't have that luxury of time. So yeah, like it's like I've found it pretty stressful to, you know, going into like book two, because it's like, I wish I could just have like another month to just like not look at the book. But when you're on deadline, that's just like not possible. And another thing that I learned through this is like that there's different types of revision. Like I apparently always use dangling modifiers and I like do not know how to spell. So, you know, like I'm all about the developmental edit. Like I'm a big picture thinker. But when it comes to like details, like it's like, yeah, I need to improve on that. And so I think I have like through like copy editing and like learning what that is and learning, yeah, like proof editing, there's so many different types of revision. So I think that once you get further and further along in your process, like you just add those to your tool belt.
That's so great. Those are great tips. I love the tip of, you know, Aisha just assuming that they're right. And I feel like when you find an editor or an agent or a critique partner that you trust, it's easier to do that, you know, to kind of be like, yes, absolutely going to try that. And I also love what you said, Jessica, about taking some time away, like finding space. And it is really hard once you're on deadline to find that, but it's important to step away from your work and then come back to it with fresh eyes. And then you see it a little bit from a different perspective, from a different angle. I think my answers, I love your answers. I'm just going to steal them. I think same, just trusting that your editorial letter and your edit letter and the edits that you're whoever is giving you the advice is giving you are correct, and that, you know, just try it, see what happens, see how it sounds, see how it works, see what happens to the story, let it unfold. And then stepping away, I think, is a great one too. Yeah, I'm just gonna take both of those and just say that's exactly what I would do. So let's see what else. I mean, my revision process, we mostly did developmental edits over the phone, and we just talked big picture about what needed to happen. And I went with that. And then line edits, there was a lot of just accepting and going for it. And I think in the end, it worked out. So, but I think trusting whoever is giving you the advice is really important. And speaking of advice, what advice would you give authors who are getting ready for their debut year or for their launch? So we've gotten through the agent process, the submission process, the revision process, and we've done all that hard work. And now it's time to get ready for your debut. I know we're all debuting this year. Aisha, you're a picture book debut. Jessica, you're YA. I'm middle grade. So we're all having slightly different experiences in that regard. But what advice would you give authors as, you know, they enter this year?
Yeah, so I just, my book just came out this week. I'm just debuting. I just did my virtual launch, and now I'm doing my in-person launch tomorrow. And the best advice I can give is chill. Like, relax and try to enjoy it, and not, don't worry if it's not perfect. You know, it's okay. I had like several meltdowns this month because I had been emailing back and forth with a bookstore in Miami where I live to try to do my launch there. And we'd been emailing back and forth for 3 months, and they kept telling me, we'll get back to you. And then like 2 weeks before the launch, they said no. So I flipped my lid a little bit, and my husband, out of fear probably, started Googling desperately and looking for another bookstore. And he found like a really like sort of hipster, like off the beaten path bookstore I didn't even know existed in Miami. And we found it's kind of in the middle of nowhere, like, and I'm just going to do it there tomorrow. And it turns out, you know, it's much more relaxed. It's not so well known. It's not where everybody else tries to get their launch. You know, it's different and more welcoming for me. And so I'm just going to do it. And right now I wanted to bake cookies for the launch in the shape of feet and shoes and boots because of City Feet. And I had another event today, and so I asked my husband and brother to bake them, and I cannot express to you the shapes of the cookies, but feet and boots are not the first thing that comes to mind when you look at them. And so I'm going to do my best to just like, I don't know what I'm going to do actually, but you know what, whatever, it is what it is. And luckily I'm an illustrator, so I have like a little art activity if any kids show up, and I'm just going to wing it and hope for the best. And I think really that's what we all have to do. Just hope for the best, have a sense of humor about it. Otherwise you're going to stress and be anxious, and you know, why? Life is short. Just, you know, eat your cookies and figure it out.
I love that. I love that so much. Chill. Life is short. Eat your cookies. It's all going to work out. I love that advice. I think it's great. And it's going to be amazing, Aisha. You're going to have an amazing launch tomorrow. And I can't wait to hear about it next time we chat on maybe on another podcast. What about you, Jessica? What advice would you give anybody getting ready for this big debut year?
Well, before I get into the advice, Aisha, you have to post the pictures on Las Musas, like Instagram or something, because I need to see these feet, not feet cookies. So just throwing that out there. We all need to see that now. Oh my God. Yeah. And I, same, it's like, so my Ruby doesn't come out until May. But like one of the things that I've like learned now is just like, I am not going to push myself to like the point of burnout. Like, you know, it's like now that I'm in the game, I don't want to get out of it because I'm like pushing myself too hard. So I think I'm learning now to chill. I think it's like a really hard balance. For me personally, this is like one of like my aha moments that I recently had between like being chill and like celebrating myself, because I was just like telling a friend this the other day, like I feel like because of, you know, deadlines and just because of life, I really haven't had like the moments to celebrate, you know, really anything. Like it's like I had a really difficult like past 2 years. With like, you know, like after the pandemic, like I lost a lot of family. And so it was just like the highest of highs were always tied to the lowest of lows. And so I never celebrated that. So it's like little things along the way. Like, yeah, it's like, I feel like I'm barely now getting to the point of like getting excited. So I think that's what I'm going to work on, is like try to celebrate myself more. For like an example, this might be like totally on brand for me though. Like people who know me know that I'm like, basically like, it's like the way like I describe myself is like, I'm one half like Pixar protagonist, one half Star Wars villain, and 100% like cat mom. So it's like when my arcs arrived, like my publicist and my marketing team didn't tell me that they were going to send them out, so they just sent them out. So I just thought it was cat food. So it's like I just opened them and like, because I thought it was the cat food, and it's like, oh my God, like, you know, all these like beautiful arcs like spilled out. So it was like a nice surprise, but I was like, what if this had been like my unboxing? And you know, like I was like oh my God, this is like cool, but also it's like I was like, oh, where's the cat food? Like I needed the cat food. But so that's what I'm learning. I'm going to really try to like take in those like, you know, moments, because I think it's like I haven't really done that. And like, it's like I feel like my friends have been more excited for me than I have been for myself. And I've been more excited for my friends than like even for myself, because I'm just like, oh, I'm just like grinding. So I think for advice, I'm going to take Aisha's advice and like chill and just like enjoy.
That's great. That's great advice. And I'm going to take that advice too, because it is hard to chill. You know, the emails pile up for publicity stuff and, you know, doing this, that, and the other. And in the meantime, you've got book two deadlines, or we've got day jobs, or we've got family responsibilities. So finding the time to celebrate yourself while also remaining chill is fantastic advice. I heard great advice on another podcast a while back from an author coach, Isabel Sterling. And I took this advice. She said, you know, I don't know if she said it or somebody said it to her and then she repeated it, but that your debut is not this like peak culmination moment in your career. Like it's not the top of the mountain, that it's just the beginning. And that you have to just keep remembering that that's just the beginning of a beautiful career ahead, a beautiful creative journey that we're on. And to just think of it as like, it's just like another thing. It's like another day. And we're going to just celebrate it, because if we put all this pressure on this day and the launch has to be perfect, and I have to get the bookmarks printed, and I have to get, you know, all these school visits lined up, and I have to, you know, I don't have enough giveaways on social media. And I mean, I teach full time, you know, I've got kids, like I really see all these other debut authors that I'm part of a cohort with doing all these amazing things. And, you know, their websites are so perfect. And like, you know, just stickers and all these things that you do before your debut. And I really haven't done that much because, you know, time. And so just recognizing it as it's going to be beautiful exactly as it's going to be. And the people I love will be there. And it's just the beginning. And, you know, my book will reach its readers. Like it will, like the book will reach the readers that need to read it, and to just let it go out into the universe. And it's kind of, that's it. It's out of our control. We've done the heavy lifting in birthing the story and creating the story. And now it's you know, it's out. So yeah, just
I want to tell a story about that, actually, that just you just reminded me of what happened at my wedding and what happened now. When I was like freaking out, people got the book before me. I just got my author copies. All these people saw the book before me and all these things. My husband reminded me, when I was, you know, complaining up a storm and whining like I normally do. Do you remember our wedding? It's the same thing. And he was right. We got married. Everything went wrong. Everything. It was the wrong. They delivered the wrong cake. Nobody sat in the front row. He had his fly open the entire ceremony. Like, you know, all of these things happen. And so the next day we're on our honeymoon and I'm like ranting of the long list of everything that went wrong. And he said to me, stop talking, because I remember it as the most beautiful and happiest moment of my life. And you're going to change my memory of. And I was like, yeah, he's right. Just shut up. We're, you know, we're married. We're happy. We love each other. And he said it to me again this week. He's like, remember the wedding, whenever I'm like losing it. Just enjoy it. You got to do something you know, you're very lucky in scheme of things. And everything that goes wrong is a story. We're writers, you know, we are stacking up all of our failures, all of our missteps. That's just, you know, material for us in the future. So enjoy it. Like I said, eat the cookies, no matter what they're shaped like.
Eat the cookies, drink the wine, enjoy the ride. And, you know, I think that's perfect. Well, this was absolutely wonderful. And it was a pleasure talking to both of you. Thank you so much for sharing with us. And if you'd like to learn more about Las Musas or our books, please visit our website at lasmusasbooks.com or find us on social media at Las Musas Books. And be sure to check out our bookshop page, where each purchase of one of our books goes towards supporting independent bookstores. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. You can also sign up for the Las Musas newsletter to have podcast updates, as well as other Musa news, such as release dates, teasers, spotlights, and more, delivered straight to your inbox. Thanks for listening.